Welcome back, everyone, to a special edition of the Trish Regan Show coming to you live today. Wait until you see what was going on over the weekend. Pretty wild stuff. Big party there in Tompkins Square down in the East Village in New York City to celebrate, once again, Pride Month. Is it almost over? Like, is it almost July 1st? Anyway, take a look. Yeah. I had to kind of strategically place myself in that video because there was actually a woman who had no shirt on as well. It was a wild party, and we're going to talk about it. They were looking for reaction out of conservatives, but I would just say this. Look, you know what? If nothing else, it's very poor judgment. You want to tell me it's a joke? Okay, fine. But you know what? When you couple it with some of the other things that have been going on, and we'll get into all of them, it's not looking like such a joke. It looks like there's a little something more there. Welcome again to the program. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Wagner Group and that march on Moscow. Let me tell you, you have not seen the end of that story. That is going to continue. That struggle there in Russia is very, very real. So we need to discuss that. Plus, impeachment. It seems like that actually could be in the works. Ted Cruz coming out and talking about exactly that. Because according to what I would consider the smoking gun, and that would be the text message we need to talk about. I've shown it to you before, but we're going to get into it again. That text message suggests, you know what? The big guy knew a little bit more about his son's business than had actually been let on. And the whistleblowers, they tried to get to the bottom of it, but guess what? Merrick Garland was repeatedly in the way. And new troubles over at Fox News. Well, not really new. I mean, they've been ongoing for some time, given the sort of lack of management structure there, given the nearly $800 million fee that they have to pay, the settlement there for Dominion. They have troubles after troubles, and now the ratings are just, you know, in the toilet, basically. And so they're changing the deck chairs again. So we're going to tell you who's out, who's in today. Welcome, everyone, to the program. I am Trish Regan. Great to have you here. Portions of the show brought to you by LegacyPMInvestments.com. If you're interested in investing in gold or silver, go to LegacyPMInvestments.com to learn more. Again, LegacyPMInvestments.com. We're going to talk about that a little bit more coming up later in the show. But again, this is a live program. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, thank you for being there. These shows usually post a few hours after the live show, which is right here on YouTube, as well as Facebook. You can also find me on Rumble and on Locals, TrishRegan.Locals.com. So great to have all of you guys here. If you're watching the live program, do me the favor when you can go over and follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Do the same thing, if you would, on Spotify. Give it 5 stars, if you would. It definitely helps the algorithm. And even going back to what happened there over the weekend in Tompkins Square in New York City, this would be in the East Village, of course. Okay, so if you hear what they're saying, you may not be able to make it out. I did put it up there to translate for you on the video screen, but if you're listening to this on audio, the words are, we're here, we're queer, and we're coming for your children. You know, I kind of chuckle, but it's not funny. They are trying to play this off as some kind of joke. You know, we don't really mean that. We're just kind of having a good time. And maybe we want a little attention. They tend to be a rather attention-seeking group. But I would just say that if you couple that with everything else that has been happening recently, I don't disagree. They are coming for the kids. I mean, it's a brainwashing kind of movement where all of a sudden now we're being told to question everything, including whether or not you're male or female. I mean, last I knew of, it was you're either XX or you're XY, and that's kind of science, right? But science is anything you want it to be these days. And this is something that they're trying to make clear over and over again. It's something that Ted Cruz and Marsha Blackburn, the senator from Texas, the senator from Tennessee, are actually suing Bud Light over because they are accusing Bud Light of directly targeting children through Dylan Mulvaney. And the way they're going in on this lawsuit is they're pointing out that Dylan Mulvaney had a large following of young people under the age of 21. And there is Dylan Mulvaney advertising none other than alcohol, right? Beer.
Hi. Impressive carrying skills, right? I got some Bud Lights for us. So, I kept hearing about this thing called March Madness, and I thought we were all just having a hectic month, but it turns out it has something to do with sports, and I'm not sure exactly which sport.
So Ted Cruz and Marsha Blackburn are suing Bud Light, or at least threatening legal action, because you can't actually target minors on TikTok or anywhere else to try and encourage alcohol sales. And Dylan Mulvaney's audience is primarily very young people. I mean, there is an effort overall, I would just say, in this community to really try and change the culture for the future. And the idea is, let's get to the kids. And that's what the drag show library things are about, the drag queen library events. That's what some of the merchandise there that you see at Target with the rainbow onesies, that's what that's about. Now, I would just step back for a moment and let me make it very clear. I feel enormously empathetic to anyone who's going through questioning their gender. This is nothing to do with, you know, being hateful at all to anyone who's struggling with these challenges. These are real challenges. And by all means, you know what? If you're that convinced, then maybe that's something you do when you become an adult. Maybe if you live your whole life saying, you know what, I should have been a guy or I should have been a girl, then you have the opportunity to do that when you are of legal age, of 21 years old. The problem that we're seeing, of course, as you well know, is that a lot of this treatment is happening for young kids, and young kids can't quite make the decisions that, say, a 21-year-old kid would be able to make. And so increasingly, yes, there is a feeling that they are coming for the kids. And so whether they want to joke about it at their rally is, you know, hey, they can go for it. I would just say it's an incredibly poor judgment call. They want to get conservatives upset by this. It's really bizarre to me because this is not a winning issue politically. They think it is. The left thinks it is. Oh, you know, those bad conservatives, they are so mean and unkind because they're just not willing to accept all of this. Well, let me just say that when there is a designer who worships Satan, that would be Eric Carwell, who had a whole line of Satan-inspired merchandise that Eric designed, and that was on display to purchase at Target earlier this month. Well, then, you know, you can understand why some conservatives are saying, wait a second, what is going on? What are you trying to do? I mean, this is someone who worships Satan. That's not what we would consider a good thing. Hello. And this person is the designer you're putting in at Target to put things like this. I mean, I don't believe Eric Carwell did the Tuckett swimsuit, but that's another one. Here's Alex Klein, a YouTuber, who did us all the favor of going and looking himself and trying the darn thing on. I mean, it's pretty hysterical. Let me get out of the way. You can see him.
That's right, guys. Extra crotch coverage, tuck-friendly construction. Thank you, Target.
No, it is.
I think this is a tucking one.
Yeah, it is. Look.
Tuck, oh. Tuck-friendly
construction. Okay, well, let's see how tuck friendly it is.
Hey, well, you can,
wow, it's so tuck friendly. It's nice to come in. I love the tuck friendly bathing suit.
Hide all of it.
Look, I got this. Is nice.
He's getting a great laugh out of the women there that are at the cash registers, and they, I think, also got the humor in it all. I mean, a tuck-friendly swimsuit, right? So these tuck-friendly swimsuits are actually not designed for somebody his size, really, but for kids. And so there's this just whole thing going on. And so even though they say maybe they're joking when they're out there rallying in Tompkins Square saying, and again, let's listen in, we're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children. It's really getting to the point of just, you know, too much. And at the same time, you look at some of the studies within our school system showing kids are falling way behind in things that they actually need, like math and reading. New study that just came out, math and reading, national assessment, NAEP scores for kids, 13-year-olds, show that they're falling again. I mean, our kids are falling academically. We need to be on top if we're going to continue being the world's most prosperous place. If we want to be the number one economy, I'm telling you, China is right there on our heels. And apparently, Joe Biden is right there with them, helping them along via his son, Hunter. Look, we don't know that for sure, but you tell me. Let's take another look at the Hunter Biden text. Make sure you tell me if you do not hear me speaking right now, if the microphone goes out. Because last time I tried to read this text, you know what happened? The microphone went completely silent. So I want to make sure that does not happen again, because this is important, especially for the people that are listening to the audio version of this podcast. I want you to hear what is in this text message. Here we go. Sitting here with my father, and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. Tell the director that I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand. And now means tonight. And Z, if I get a call or text from anyone involved in this other than you, Zhang, or the chairman, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows, and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my decision. Following my direction. There we go. Every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge that you will regret not following my direction. I mean, is this like the mafia? The Biden crime family? They're living up to the name? I mean, that sounds like some kind of mafia threatening text message. Hey, buddy, over there in China, who, by the way, has a business partner who is head of the state intelligence Bureau in China. A little weird, right? Hey, buddy, you better pay up. And if you don't pay up, I'm going to hold a grudge forever. Not only am I going to hold a grudge, but my dad, the big guy, is going to hold a grudge. He didn't actually say dad, but he said, you know, I'm here at my father's, right? Let's take one more look. And again, make sure the volume's up. Sitting here with my father. Okay, so there you go. He's sitting there with his father. And this is dated from a time when apparently he was there at his father's house in Delaware. Because the Washington Free Beacon, they have a reporting investigative unit, nonprofit, that went and found some metadata showing a picture of none other than Hunter Biden on that day at his father's house with his family all around, ironically, the Corvette. So that certainly seems like a smoking gun to me. And this is one that, you know what, even the media cannot ignore. I want to get to what Ted Cruz is saying, because this is actually going to be pretty monumental. I think that Joe Biden very well could be looking at an impeachment there by the House. It's something Ted Cruz is suggesting. Numerous House members have also suggested it. And now, as we get more and more evidence coming to us via these whistleblowers, two of them, it suggests that there was definitely some kind of interference going on, and that's not right. Americans, we deserve so much more than that. We are not a banana republic. I'm sorry. You know what? We are not. We are not pay to play. And it's absolutely pathetic that the IRS was not able to follow through with all of its investigation or to formally seek charges because of, well, you know, the importance of daddy. Mainstream media is not even going to be able to ignore this. I mean, I know they had the submersible, right, for a little while there. You had a few days of the sub, the Titanic. I mean, just the horrible story. They're devastating, of course. And that distracted everyone. But now they're back at it. Here is the clipping here. Let me show you this clip from the White House. This is Karine Jean-Pierre, who is the spokesperson, just getting pummeled by reporters. This is a rare occurrence, but I believe some of these were conservative reporters, including some from the Daily Caller. Take a listen.
Can I follow up on that?
No, I just called in somebody. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, but I mean, Kirby wouldn't answer James's question, though. Are you going to answer the question? I mean, not a reasonable question to ask, but the President of the United States was involved, as this message seems to suggest, in some sort of a coercive conversation for business dealings by his son. Is that something, if he wasn't, then maybe you should tell us?
So here's the thing, I appreciate the question. I believe my colleague at the White House counsel has answered this question already, has dealt with this, has made it very clear. I just don't have anything to share outside of what my colleagues have shared, and so I would refer you to him and the DOJ. Just not going to comment from here.
Text message.
What I can tell you is I know that my colleague has dealt with this. He addressed this at the White House counsel. I just don't have anything else to share.
I just answered the question. Was the president involved in the shakedown attempt?
Stephen, I just answered the question. It's not up to you how I answer the question. I just answered the question by telling you my colleagues at the White House counsel has dealt with this, and I would refer you to them. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, and they actually haven't. And they hadn't been dealing with it. And so there are still many, many unanswered questions. I mean, Attorney General Merrick Garland is trying to deal with it in his own special way, trying to suggest, I mean, some people are asking whether or not he's perjured himself here, trying to suggest, no, you know what, there was no interference. Absolutely not. You know, the attorney, David Weiss, he had full right to move ahead with an investigation. Of course, that's not what the whistleblowers are telling us. That's not what the whistleblowers are saying at all. There's one that's been identified, Mr. Shapley. There's another that prefers to remain anonymous. And what the whistleblowers have said is actually just the opposite. Whistleblowers are saying, we wanted to move forward, and David Weiss was intending to move forward both in D.C. and in California, but we were all stopped. That's concerning. Anyway, here's Attorney General Merrick Garland saying exactly the opposite. Listen.
Do you think, just to follow on that, do you think that a special counsel, can you explain the rationale for not appointing a special counsel in this case?
Mr. Weiss had, in fact, more authority than a special counsel would have. He had and has complete authority, as I said, to bring a case anywhere he wants in his discretion.
Really? Well, then why didn't it happen? Again, whistleblowers coming forward saying he didn't have that authority. He didn't have it at all. In which case, this turns into some much bigger mess. Whether or not Joe Biden knew what was going on, I mean, I think it's natural that he did. I think it's natural you'd ask your kid about their business, and it kind of seems like it's a family business, at least from some of the reports that we have gotten out of Congress, suggesting there's a whole lot of money there. They're alleging that as much as $10 million was going to the Biden family. So regardless of that, for just a moment, just think about how it appears to the American public that Joe Biden's son is under investigation and David Weiss, the attorney, can actually bring forward charges, can actually pursue this because, well, you know, daddy's the president. So that's not going to happen. Well, this is not going over well with members of Congress, with conservatives overall. And frankly, I mean, I think this is going to become an issue really for the middle of the country too, because nobody wants the stink, the stench of corruption around our leaders. I mean, we're sick of it. We're sick of it. It's bad enough already. And then to think that this stuff might be going on. Anyway, here's Jason Smith. He is the Republican congressman from Missouri. He's just on a, you know, blazing trail right now, trying to get to the bottom of all of this. He appeared with my former colleague, Maria Bartiromo. Take a listen to what he had to say.
Whistleblowers, more than one, are telling us the exact opposite. In fact, they said that there was not independence in the Justice Department with the U.S. attorney in Delaware. That U.S. attorney in Delaware, according to the whistleblowers, tried to bring charges in the District of Columbia and was denied. Tried to bring charges in Central District of California, was denied.
If they requested a special counsel, if they requested the ability to bring charges in California, in D.C., and they're denied, then you just have to ask why. Especially when Garland keeps telling us, no. Weiss had the full ability to do whatever he wanted to do. This just leads to more and more questions, which means impeachment is all the more likely. Listen to Senator Ted Cruz out of Texas talking about exactly that. He doesn't quite say it. I'm going to get to the part where he does in just a moment. Here he is over the weekend on Fox.
We have seen the Biden Department of Justice is, I think, the most politicized we've ever seen in this country. Merrick Garland, sadly, is the most political and partisan attorney general we've ever seen. And it's done enormous damage to the integrity of DOJ and the FBI. I'm an alumnus of DOJ. The Department of Justice has a long history of being apolitical, of applying the law fairly and one standard of law for everyone.
Anymore, right? And that's what he goes on to say. Then he came out on his podcast and said, you know what? The House needs to be looking at impeachment. Now, I'm just going to say, me personally, this is the first time, I'm no fan of Joe Biden and this administration, believe me, but this is the first time I've thought to myself, you know what? We do need to impeach. We do need to be looking at this much. I mean, you impeach in the House, you convict in the Senate. So I would not be surprised to see an impeachment because this is a big enough deal now. This is scandalous enough. When you have a text message like that, when you are looking at it, Hunter Biden informing an associate over there in China who happens to also have an associate who's part of the State Intel Committee in China, and you have him saying, look, you got to pay up or else pay up. You know, my dad, that man in the other room, I'm sitting here with my father, and he's going to make sure that everyone knows and nobody's going to do anything with you guys again. I mean, that's pretty bad. So this is not looking good for Biden. Of course, that could be, you know, if you really want to go down the rabbit hole of what some have suggested, it could be by design, right? Because they would love for Gavin Newsom to be running as opposed to Joe Biden. And Joe Biden, who even over the weekend, it was sort of supposed to be a joke, admitted, he's like, you know, I know I'm 198 years old, but blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's gotten to the point now where he even recognizes it. He's up there. He is the oldest we've had. He would be what would he be, like 86 by the time he left? So the Democrats are positioning Gavin Newsom, who is the governor of California, who, you know, like cuts a good picture. Yeah, he looks good. He's tall. He's got the slicked back hair, if you're into that. And he kind of gives all this, you know, kind of whatever, wholesome, younger, anyone's going to give off a younger image. And they want that. And so you've got to also ask yourself, is there any chance at all that this is by design, that they really want him to go? And maybe this would just be the easiest exit. Because when you look at the polling data, it certainly suggests Joe Biden is extremely vulnerable. And there are multiple reasons for that, including just what's going on over there in Ukraine and Russia, including what's going on right here with our border, including things like that parade we just saw over the weekend, including Target, Bud Light, all this stuff. So from a cultural perspective, from an economic perspective, from an inflation perspective, things are not looking good for Biden. So they do need a new personality in there. I don't necessarily think Gavin Newsom would be your best candidate only because, you know, even with the slick back hair, he's got the reality of people leaving California in droves because of the insane tax policy, because of the inability of places like San Francisco, where he used to be mayor, to clean up their act. You got companies pulling out. You've got hotels saying, we don't want to be here. We don't want to be in San Francisco or in California. It is too dangerous and it is too expensive. Wow. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about all that, including you just saw a clip from Fox, a couple of them. Fox is in some trouble and they're restacking the deck chairs yet again. I mean, I guess this is just experimental time over the summer until they figure out how the heck they're going to manage given the challenges that they have had. In the meantime, before we get to that, just a quick shout out for some of my merch. We've got some new merch as we come up on the 4th of July holiday. I don't want to totally ruin my hair. If you're watching this on video, you can see me actually wearing my 4th of July cap. We're getting all kinds of different colors. I designed them myself, actually. So you can check out the merch at the store. It's trishregan.shop. That's the new shop there. It's trishregan.shop. Go check it out. Anyway, yes, Fox News increasingly in trouble here. And it's because of, well, I would just say they've had some rather poor management decisions over the last few years. You know, it's kind of like a rudderless place. And consequently, they don't really know how to manage it. It's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of comparisons really between Target and Bud Light and Fox News. They've lost their way. They're not really sure who their customer is, who their viewer is. And you combine that with the changing media environment where, hey, all of you are right here and we're talking live right here on this show. I'm going to get to all your questions and comments. I see so many familiar faces and some new ones as well. Daryl, oh, you live in California. I am sorry you live in California, sir. I used to live in California many years ago, almost 5 years, in San Francisco. My nickname for the place was Sucks Francisco because I really, really just thought it was appalling even then. You'd come home. I'll give you an example. You'd come home on a Friday night from dinner early, like 9 o'clock. I lived with my husband at the time at the top of Knob Hill, which is a nice, nice neighborhood. And so we'd go up in the car to get to the top, in a very, very curvy city, very up and down, go to the top of the hill. In the meantime, like, there'd be transvestites that would come out, like, just of these, alleyways, and they'd be like, hey, hi, you're at a red light, and, you know, they're knocking on your car window. And somehow everybody thought that was, like, charming in San Francisco. And I'm like, this is not charming. And by the way, I come from New York. This is weird. Like, this is too much. It's 9 o'clock on a Friday night. Give me a break. Anyway, so good to see all of you. I see Vinny B. Good to see you here. Kaylin, all of you, thank you so much for joining the show. Anyway, Fox News is in trouble. Fox News is seeing its ratings go down, 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 down ever since they lost this guy.
Hey, it's Tucker Carlson. The Biden administration arrested Donald Trump.
Yeah, Tucker Carlson was kind of like the be-all, end-all, right, on Fox. I mean, I'd like to think I was there over on the little sister channel, Fox Business, opposite Tucker. Interesting, again, management choice to put two political shows on opposite each other on the same platform. Anyway, I think that they've really just kind of lost their way and they can't figure it out. And so they're struggling here. They're clearly struggling. And the numbers reflect that. And you think about all the people that have left. More people now are leaving and they're making more changes to shows. So myself, Lou Dobbs, now Kennedy is no longer doing her show on Fox Business, and Steve Hilton, who had a weekend show, no longer doing his show on Fox News. Dan Bongino, one of the greatest guys, Dan Bongino is just a wonderful, wonderful man and a fantastic broadcaster with really cool angles. If you haven't checked out his podcast, you certainly should. Dan Bongino is great. He had a show on Saturday nights on Fox. That's gone. He's gone. I mean, one after another. And now we have learned, well, Tucker's out. And now we've learned, and you guys may like this, but I'll just say it does speak to the challenges they're facing. We've learned that Geraldo is now leaving. Well, at least the five. They've probably figured out over at Fox News that you might want to keep people around because you do have them under contract and it is pay or play. And that's one of the reasons, I guess, why they're suing Tucker Carlson right now. They're like, how dare you get out there and actually do another show because you belong to us. And that's, you know, so maybe they're just keeping Geraldo around, but he's no longer going to be on the five. Before you say, you know, yip, yip, hooray, because I know so many of you are not wild about leftist views, I would just say, hey, like, you got to have debate on shows. And he certainly served a purpose there. Maybe he's just too expensive. I have no idea. But they probably are trying to save a few pennies, given that nearly $800 million settlement that they're paying to Dominion. And don't forget, like, this is not over. They're not out of legal troubles. They got another case pending. And so they've got to figure out how to kind of salvage the place as you see the ratings go down, 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 down. Now they may say, hey, it's summer, you know, whatever. They haven't figured out how to fix this crisis yet. There was a story recently, Drudge broke it, that the lineup was changing. And the lineup was going to change in such a way that the primetime spot would go to Jesse Waters, I guess, followed by, the comedian, the guy that is Greg Gutfeld, the one that's on the five. He's got an 11 o'clock show. It seemed that Hannity would be in there, too. I can't remember exactly how they wanted to stack it, but odd man out was Laura Ingraham, who, interestingly, just like Dan Bongino, has gone after ESG. ESG, environmental social governance, which is playing such a big role nowadays in how people invest in companies. It's one of the reasons why you see companies like Target and Bud Light making some of the foolish decisions that they have made. Tucker Carlson also went heavily after ESG. I'm just questioning whether or not there's any kind of pressure from the ESG community, which, by the way, if you look into it, BlackRock has about a 4 to 5% stake in Class A and Class B Fox shares. So I don't know. I mean, BlackRock has kind of a 5% stake in every company, it seems. But one would have to wonder if there's any pressure being put on management to kind of shore it up and say, okay, we're going to be like the new conservative network and we can't like Trump and we can't like, you know, these really conservative themes. By the way, I don't even think they're that conservative. Do you? I mean, when you say, hey, you know, I'm really not in to people coming for my kids like this, like that doesn't necessarily seem to be that conservative a move to say, I don't really want those books on display in my kids' library. I mean, you've seen it. If you haven't seen them, I can't show them to you because I'm pretty sure I would get banned from YouTube for the right reasons, by the way, because nobody should be showing that. I can't show you these things, but they've got sort of what I would just characterize as pornographic cartoons on them, in them. And they're putting these on display in kids' libraries. I mean, that's kind of wild. I'm not even going to put that on display for you to see on this program right now. And that's what they've got out there. And somehow that's okay. And maybe, you know, if Fox anchors and hosts are going after that, then they're going to be criticized from that investment community. And hey, ka-ching, ka-ching, it's all about money at the end of the day. It's all about money until at some point somebody wakes up and says, you know what? It's actually bad for our bottom line. It's really bad for our bottom line if we can't speak our mind. I mean, if we have to see this and think that that's okay. If you're just tuning in, we're looking at some video there of Tompkins Square in the East Village in New York City. And there are a bunch of people marching saying, we're here, we're queer, and we're coming for your children. Now, if you're on Fox and you can't actually call that out because the ESG police are going to come after you, well, then you get a problem. So Fox is definitely looking at some challenges, both from a monetary perspective in terms of their earnings and the hit that they got from Dominion and the one that could still be coming, and just the reality that they're getting rid of so many personalities that were so liked by the public. And ultimately, this is a personality business. Ultimately, I think the reason you guys are here is because you have some connection with me and I have a connection with you. And by the way, I kind of actually like this so much better. I mean, we don't have the bells and whistles. We don't have all the lower thirds. We don't have all the, as much video as I'd like. And sometimes the microphone doesn't work. I will give you that. You should hear the early shows. I mean, if you really want to just laugh. But you know what? It's fully authentic. And there's no one between me and you saying, hey, you can say this and you can't say that. I used to have to get my commentaries approved every single night. And you know what would drive me nuts is when somebody 5 minutes before air would get in there and be one of the, you know, micro middle managers saying, you can't say this, you can't say that. I mean, they had to see everything. It used to go all the way up the food chain. And I've always thought, you know, this is kind of silly. In this case, there is no prompter. It's just me. It's just you. I do see your comments. John Palmer, welcome back. Good to see you here. Scott Nelson, I love seeing. Oh, I mean, it's fantastic. And I'm going to get to all of your comments in just a moment. But it's a very different kind of medium. And I think that Fox News is facing several challenges. One, they've got the ESG woke police all over their you know what. So that's going on. They are not allowing their anchors and their hosts to be true to themselves fully. Because, you know, if you do, guess what happens? That's going on. And then they've got the reality of this massively changing business, which is cutting into whatever they can do. Don't forget, Fox Nation was started as a streaming service to kind of, you know, counteract that. Because the way the cable agreements work, they get paid a certain amount of money for every single household that they're in by the big cable companies. But the deal that the cable companies make is, hey, you know what? You are not allowed to stream your content live on YouTube, on Rumble, on Facebook, anywhere. You're not allowed to do that because, well, we're paying you. And, you know, the cable companies have a point. So Fox is now trying to say, okay, well, what can we do that's different that we can stream live? And that would be Fox Nation. Well, I think a lot of people, it was already struggling, by the way, really, really struggling. My sources have told me, I mean, they were pouring a ton of money into it. But I think a lot of people have actually pulled the cord on that as well. So you got cord cutters galore out there. The aging audience of Fox is like, well, you know, they're frustrated. They're like, why are you getting rid of everybody I like? And consequently, I suspect this company is going to have to go through some major, major changes structurally in terms of the business itself, in terms of those streaming models, and also in terms of management, because they really need leadership right now. I mean, it's like Bud Light needing leadership. It brings me to this commercial. Have you guys seen Bud Light's latest commercial? If you have, let us know what you think in the comments. If you haven't, watch very carefully. What do you think? I mean, I'm looking at this and I see a whole bunch of people having kind of a tough time. They're falling off their paddle boards. They're getting burned. It's this like slapstick comedy, like one after another. Okay. Like if you had a few, but is that really funny? Are you actually maybe making fun of your customers in that? Like these idiots, they can't even get in the hammock and stay in the hammock. It's a stupid commercial. Totally stupid. And it shows you how desperate this company is. It doesn't know what to do. Amazing, considering they just got the big giant award at the Cannes Advertising Festival for being the most creative advertiser of the year. Yeah, you can say that one again, right? I mean, just wild. Most creative. I mean, they lost $27 billion worth of market cap in the process because of one campaign, because of one influencer, and because of one giant ability to really rub their customers the wrong way. And now, every time you go to have a Bud Light, well, you're not having one, right? Like, no one is. I'm always amazed now when I see it anywhere. Because you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I mean, if you drink it, well, you look like kind of a wuss, right? And if you're maybe conservative and don't like what had happened, well, then you really look like a wuss. And then even if you're liberal, if you're like a super duper liberal and you were out marching in that parade over the weekend, you also look like an idiot because you're mad because, hey, Bud Light didn't, you know, do what it needed to do to defend your community. So it is a no-win situation for that company. And I think there's some parallels. It's why in this environmental social governance time, management needs to be really thoughtful about how you expand your audience, how you expand your consumer base, but you do so in a way that doesn't alienate the people that brought you to the dance in the first place, right? Right. All right, let's turn to some really serious stuff, shall we? And that would be what has been happening over the weekend there in Russia. If you haven't been following along, I'll catch you up right now. There is the Wagner Group. I say Wagner. Granted, I have a whole history in classical music and I was a singer. So I see this as Wagner. And actually, many people overseas pronounce it as Wagner. The correct pronunciation is Wagner. At CNN, they're going to tell you it's the Wagner Group, but don't listen to them. Anyway, so you get this Wagner Group, which is a paramilitary group, and it was started by this guy who actually is the former caterer to Vladimir Putin, Yevgeny Prigozhin. I may not be pronouncing that one quite as right, but Prigozhin is like one scary dude. Okay, this is like, it makes anything that the U.S. has ever done that's been off look like 10 times worse. Like, he is really, really bad. You have only, unfortunately, to look at the devastation in Syria, in Aleppo, that came from him. Putin gets a bad rap, of course, because Putin okayed it. But this was Prigozhin that carried all these things out. So over the weekend, I was very concerned because he was marching towards Moscow. And the reality is, look, nobody wants war. Like nobody wants war. And in Russia right now, they really don't want this. And the reason they don't want this is because, well, for a multitude of factors. But one of them is, well, Ukraine is kind of like Texas, right? So you've probably known a lot of couples that are Ukrainian and Russian. It's very, very common. They share that common heritage. And there's, you know, families that have cousins that live in Ukraine. And it's just like almost part of their country, which is, you know, Putin would like to really make it part of their country. Anyway, as a result of that and so many deaths, the Russians are like, well, why are we in this? Putin thought maybe that he could ride on his capital and he could unite the country and they'd have all these, you know, patriotic moments. Well, it's not working out. And the people have figured it out, even though they suppressed the media there quite significantly. And they know that their sons are not coming home and they really don't want to be in this. So Prigozhin has capitalized on that. And one of the things that he has said is that this is like a meat grinder of a war. Like, this is so bad and our young boys are going off to war. And he's got a point, right? Absolutely has a point. But one of the things he's also said is that we need to fight harder. And he wants to be unleashed. And apparently Putin's not really, really unleashing him. So my concern, as we got word that the Wagner paramilitary group had taken over two Russian cities that seized them and they were marching towards Moscow, was that, you know what, this could actually become way more violent. And sometimes maybe the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. And do we run the risk, if the Wagner group takes over and they're running Russia, do we run the risk that you're actually going to see way more devastation really fast, really quickly, including the potential for nuclear use there in Ukraine? So that was certainly my concern. Now, some intelligence folks I've talked to have said, actually this is a good outcome. It's a good outcome because what it did was it showed Putin that not everyone's on his side and that he has vulnerability. And consequently, he might watch his steps more carefully. He also is in a position where this whole war effort will have to be slowed down. So hopefully the killing, right, slows down. They made a deal with Mr. Prigozhin, and Prigozhin is going off to Belarus. But it's not over. I mean, I mark my words, I don't think this is over at all. I think that you're going to see more challenges. There is the threat of civil war there in Russia. I suspect that Prigozhin will be back if he can be. I mean, it's a question of the security apparatus that Putin has. It's considered almost unthinkable that Prigozhin was able to get this far, right? Because no one's been able to do this. And so the White House has been very, very quiet on this. We really haven't seen much in terms of U.S. people really speaking out. But just some things that I'm hearing through back channels include, well, maybe this wasn't the worst thing because it shows Putin some vulnerability. Maybe it slows down that war effort. I mean, hey, if the paramilitary group is doing so much and they're so involved in this effort, and by the way, these are bad guys. I mean, they're a bunch of prisoners that are mercenaries, right? You just go and hire them. And now they're out there fighting and they'll just do some pretty heinous stuff. So if they're not willing, if they're not part of the equation and your own military is not really willing to fight, then how is the Department of Defense for Russia really going to manage this war? And that's the question. But look, I'm relieved that Prigozhin did not succeed there because I think it would have been a way worse outcome, actually. I mean, just knowing what he did to the people in Syria, you got to like think through all of these things. My frustration over the weekend was just like, what the, you know, how does this get so out of control? And, you know, our State Department, granted, I know they're not magicians, but How did it get to this? Really, why aren't we using more diplomacy? That's what we should be using. And by the way, financial tools. I'm a big believer in sanctions being used swiftly and articulately and with precision so that you can help affect some of this decision making. I mean, that would be the smart thing to do. But, you know, look, it's a political environment. All they care about now is 2024. Who's actually going to be running? Is it going to be Joe? Is it going to be Kamala? Is it going to be Gavin Newsom? Is Joe Biden actually going to get impeached? I mean, wild, right? And what does it tell you about our state of affairs here in the United States of America as we increasingly seem much more like a banana republic than we've ever seemed in history? It's one of the reasons why I know so many of you are concerned about the future. It's why so many of you have looked at your portfolio right now and you're saying, wait a second, how do I shore this up? How do I make sure that I am diversified enough and that I have some, you know, ability to really protect myself and my family in the future? And for some of you, part of that may be, I'm not your financial advisor, I always have to say that, but it may be including gold. I include it in my portfolio. And, you know, it's a different amount for different people depending on where you are in terms of the percentage of your overall assets. But I can tell you, I have included it because I consider it one of those things and I don't sell it. I tend to just kind of hang on to it because it's that safety play, at least for me. It's one of the things that has always kept up with inflation. Not to say it always will, but historically over time, what you have seen is that gold has held onto its value. So if this is something you're interested in doing, you can actually do it online right now. You can buy gold and sell it right there at legacypminvestments.com, our great sponsor of this show. You know, they were the very first sponsor here on the Trish Regan Show, and we just love them so much. If you have not seen the interview with Charles Thorngren that we just did the other day, he's the CEO of the company, talking about the challenges ahead, especially as the Fed raises rates and what that is going to mean. He actually believes gold goes up in that environment, and it's because, well, he worries about another banking crisis. So I'll let you watch the interview. You should check that out. But legacypminvestments.com, if you're interested in investing in gold or silver today, go there. Or you can call them at 1-866-589-0560. You can call them and they will walk you through everything. Anyway, wow. I want to take it out to the crowd here and actually hear from all of you guys, because I'm seeing so many messages. I'm seeing so many hearts and likes there over on Facebook. I'm seeing so many comments there on the YouTube channel. And I so appreciate that, guys. So let me just pull some of these up because it's really great to hear from so many of you. I'm looking in yeah, it sounds like so many of you would be in agreement there on the impeachment front. Look, I just want some answers. Like, I think we deserve this. I think that we as Americans need to know if there was any pay to play, but even almost, I mean, that's bad, right? Like, it's super, super bad because our government should never be for sale. But it's not just that. It's the idea that there would be a cover up. Sometimes it's not even the crime, right, that gets you always into trouble. It's the cover up that ensues. And if, in fact, there was a cover up, as these whistleblowers are alleging, well, then that's a big, big, big problem. I mean, wow. Matthew, thank you. Thank you so much for those nice comments. And L12, great to see you here. You know, we are in a really tricky, kind of weird time. I see a lot of people making some comments on Ukraine too. Leslie, my friend Leslie, is back here. Leslie and I met over on Locals, where I am as well, trishregan.locals.com. And it's a terrific platform. And you get a lot of my content there, and we have some special content. You can interact directly with me right there. I mean, you're interacting directly here, but one-to-one there on Locals. So trishregan.locals.com. Early days on live, Leslie pointing out, they were very fun. We all learned at the same time. I think Leslie was one of the ones that would be like, hey, Trish, your microphone's not working. So we were like, wait a second. Is that because I'm saying something about, you know, what you weren't supposed to talk about at the time, which would have been the whole... You know, can I even say it now? I have a euphemism for it. March 2020. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, you know, so there were moments like that where we were like, wait a second, is the microphone going out for a reason? Anyway, good to see all of you here. So I see a lot of new names and a lot of new faces, a lot of familiar ones, like Annalise back with us. Annalise saying, didn't he rebel against Putin? You're right. Prigozhin did rebel against Putin, and he's getting a lot of momentum because the people are thinking we want to end this war. Now, my concern is that look, you know, and by the way, I want to end the war too, by all means. But my concern about that would be, how are they going to do it? Like, we don't want to like kill more people, right? Can we not just end the war and just end it without more violence? And Putin has been allegedly sort of holding Prigozhin back from some of the more severe violent things that he could do. And so Prigozhin's frustrated and he's saying to the people, you know, we could end this tomorrow if someone would just let me. The other thing that Prigozhin did come out and say yesterday, Annalise, is that this was sort of just a fight among oligarchs. And it is so unfortunate that the people are being dragged into this. And I do agree with him on that. I mean, that's why I keep saying, like, how did this happen? Like, how does it get to the point where we are killing people? Like, you know, I mean, again, if this were like Texas, it feels like a civil war in the sense that Ukraine is so united with Russia in terms of its culture. And so how does it get to that point where you're actually at war? That is really, really, really alarming. And I had heard some similar things. I had heard some similar things back channel. And there were some business deals that went badly and some of the oligarchs that were holding Putin at bay because Putin was understandably kind of getting nervous because NATO had been encroaching closer and closer and closer to his country. I mean, it would be like, well, it is like China reportedly setting up shop in Cuba. Wall Street Journal broke that story as an exclusive. Now, we've gotten some pushback from China, from the administration. I mean, they take that with a grain of salt, right? Given what we know about China now and the administration, shall we say. So take that with a grain of salt. But it is like having an enemy effectively right there at your border. I've made that point with Venezuela before, that you've got the Chinese, the Iranians, and by the way, the Russians hanging out in Venezuela, buying up debt in the secondary debt market, which gives them say in the oil industry and therefore say in a lot of things that are kind of important to us. We should have that say, frankly, not them, especially given that it's right here in the Western Hemisphere. And so I understand where the Russians are coming from in that sense. In other words, they don't want what they perceive to be an enemy, which is NATO, right there at their doorstep. But yet, I also just say, gosh, like what has it come to? What kind of breakdown are we looking at where so many lives are being lost? And Prigozhin from the Wagner Group is saying this was really about a business deal. Now, he would just like to end it by just, you know, blowing everyone to smithereens. Maybe that's not the case, but that's certainly my understanding of him. And that is his reputation vis-a-vis what happened in Aleppo. So I think you just have to be extraordinarily cautious. And I think that, you know, yes, this needs to end, but let's not end it by killing more people, if that makes sense, right? Right? Anyway, great to see you. Oh, lots of really strong opinions. Very interesting to see on Ukraine. And you're welcome, Annalise. I hope that I don't have all the answers, but I will say this. It should be better negotiated. I don't believe that Russia should have felt that was that much of a threat. It should have been better communicated that NATO was not trying to take over Russia. And that was a failure on behalf of, frankly, I see it as our administration and also France. I mean, what the heck? Macron going over there and trying to say, hey, you know, don't worry about this. And obviously his message did not resonate. Now, there are those that say, well, Putin's always desired this. He wants the reunification of the former USSR. And so there was no talking him out of anything. And it came down to, as Prigozhin sort of alluded to, and I have heard this story. I heard it, well, basically when this whole thing first broke out, that there were some business deals that went wrong, that there were some oligarchs in Ukraine that basically, well, they were kind of keeping Putin at bay. And they said, well, have at it. We don't know a lot. That's the reality of it. We don't know much. We know that Hunter Biden was getting paid $600,000 at Burisma. We know that. And that strikes me as incredibly strange, incredibly odd. And now we're in this entire mess. So we have to be able to connect the dots, which gets us right back to where we started, why it is so important right now that we get to the bottom of whatever this text message was between Hunter and Zhang, his Chinese business associate who happened to have an associate who was head of the Chinese intelligence department. Let's play it again. Let's make sure the audio is working. Okay, here it is. He says, sitting here with my father, and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. Tell the director that I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand, and now means tonight. Enzi, if I get a call or text from anyone involved in this other than you, Zhang, or the chairman, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I mean, wow. This is like mob style, right? Like that's, it sounds like he is a mafia boss and he's telling the Chinese who's connected to state intelligence in China, like your life is going to be effing miserable. Excuse my French. If you don't play ball, if I don't get that money. And that's pretty alarming. Now, you know, at the time of the deal, it seems as though the president had already left office. This is the Rosemont thing that he was doing in China. And so you could say, well, you know, he's entitled and nobody knew that Biden was necessarily going to run for president, although we kind of knew, like, right? We sort of knew. You knew Hillary wasn't going to run again, so he was sort of the next best option. And he was getting all that money at his University of Pennsylvania think tank, which had an operation that opened up. Remember, that's where they found some of the documents, don't forget, there in D.C. Well, he had this thing going on with UPenn, and they were getting all this Chinese funding that came in the doors as soon as they announced this think tank with him. So I think China was onto something. China was like, okay, you know, he's probably running. And now I just worry that there was some kind of cover-up effort, and I think we all need to be worried about that. Anyway, again, so great to see all of you here. So many new faces, so many familiar ones. I love it. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. I would love that. I'd love to have you here. Make sure you hit the bell so that you know when we have new stuff. If you're watching on Facebook, subscribe. Follow me. I guess the proper terminology is there on Facebook. Make sure you also go over to Spotify. We have a brand new podcast cover, by the way. Brand new. I will also put the link to the podcast below here for you. I hope you like it. It's a new picture. It's new art, all that kind of thing. And it's great to see you all. Thank you so much for being here. And we will continue the conversation this week again. Have a good one, everyone.